Hi, Michelle here. In this episode of The Birth Realm, Maggie and I sit down with Lauren, who recently free-birthed her first baby. There's a beautiful familiarity about Lauren's story in that she was the first of her group of friends to birth. So, grab your favourite drink, sit back, or hit play as you hit the road, and enjoy this episode of The Birth Realm.
So welcome, Lauren, to the Birth Realm. It's so nice to have you come
Thank
on the
you.
Show with us today. If you just wanted to start off today by telling us a little bit about yourself and your family.
So my name's Lauren. I'm 25 from the Mornington Peninsula down in Victoria. I've been one pregnancy and one baby, Ziggy, who was born last year in December. And it's just me and Ziggy and my partner Reese living together, and we own a barber shop. But I am a stay-at-home mum now.
Your journey into wild pregnancy and free birth, did you want to speak a bit about that and what the moment that you decided and realized that this was the path for you?
So it was an unexpected pregnancy, but as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I knew I wanted to have him at home. Mm-hmm. And then I'd never even, like, wild pregnancy, free birthing, I'd never even heard about it before, known anything about it. And I just started then, it just started popping up on my Instagram, I guess, like being in my face all the time. And then I saw someone they had had a wild pregnancy and like no tests or anything. And that just blew my mind. I was like, that just never even would think that you could do that. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. I was like, how? Like, what do you mean? You live like isolated? Like, what? And my friend or new friends that we had met, they had just had a baby and we were going around to tell them that we were pregnant. And so we met them and met their baby. And yeah, she was like, had never seen a doctor or anything, had had a wild pregnancy. And I was like, oh my God, I just heard about this. And then so I had me thinking, and I had had a 7-week ultrasound and it was awful. I hated it. And then it was just a mess around as well. The first time I went, like, so excited, and they were just so rude and not excited. And I didn't bring my referral paper and I didn't know I needed that. Like, I had an appointment, so why did I need it? But I've learned a lot now. And so I had to like rebook it, and it was just a mess and it was awful. And then the same thing happened with the 12-week scan, and it just felt wrong. Like, everything that I was doing, it just felt really wrong. Why am I going to do this? Why do I feel like this? And then, the 12-week one was during a lockdown because it was on my partner's birthday and he wasn't allowed in, and which was really sad. And then I asked him, could I FaceTime him while I was in there? And she was really rude, but she wouldn't let me FaceTime him. So it was just really sad. And then I was like, I'm never doing that again. I'm done with that.
Yeah, it's awful. That just takes the experience away and for both of you.
Yeah,
it
was so strange. That's the last and only kind of connection to the system that I had, because it was just shit. I was like, why am I doing this? And I laid there for like an hour while she pressed really hard into my tummy. She was saying, the baby's not moving, the baby's not moving. We might need to do an internal ultrasound. And I was like, what does that mean? She was like, well, we'll just put a camera. And I was like, no, I'll just, no thanks. So I'm really glad I didn't do that. And then I guess it was not really planned to, it just went like that. And then I stopped going to see my doctor because even though he was fine, I told him I wasn't having any more ultrasounds and I didn't want to have any of the glucose tests or stuff like that. And he was just like, okay, you're funny. And that was it. So, I don't know. That's kind of how it happened. It kind of blew my mind and I thought, that's crazy. And then I started to have to do but I was like, I saw my doctor. I was found out I was pregnant, and then I was just about to go down the line of doing things, but it stopped. And then I stopped. Does that make sense?
It's kind of like,
yeah. So it wasn't planned. I didn't know.
And your intuition was telling you anyway.
Yeah, totally. That was the start of my intuition running the rest of my pregnancy for sure. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't really know any different now. So I didn't know what a glucose test was until someone said to me, are you going to do the glucose test? And I was like, I don't know. A lot of things I was like, I don't know what that is. And I just was not doing them because I wasn't seeing a doctor or seeing a midwife. Yeah, I don't know. It just happened that way.
Well, you were just being guided by yourself and your baby, which is
definitely
how it should be.
It was my baby the whole time.
So moving on to your journey, so what did your preparation look like? You mentioned that you had a friend that was pregnant. Were they having a free birth as well? Like, were you surrounding yourself?
Yeah, she had her baby. I think she was maybe like 5 months old or something like that, six months old. So she had had her baby. Yep. She'd had a wild pregnancy. So she was someone that I knew had a similar journey. And then I found out my cousin's partner was having a home birth and she was having two midwives, but that was it. There was no one in my, I didn't know anyone. So there was a lot of, everything I learned was Instagram. Instagram is amazing, really.
It is.
It's incredible. I would not know anything or seen anyone, everyone in my circles or family. It's the first, it's amazing. I was talking to you, Maggie, in the first week of having Ziggy. I'm so grateful for the connections from Instagram.
It's such an incredible resource to have, really, like if you use it properly, because you know, it's hard for us to be together in community, you know, there's, we're spread out all across the place, so to be able to have people that you're conversing with in a virtual online space that's on a similar path is so vital. And I can totally relate to that, you know, going through my pregnancy journey and into especially my postpartum, you know.
Incredible, because I'm the first of like my friendship groups to have a baby. So it's very new. Everything is very new to me and my partner and to my friends as well. So I did feel very isolated, I guess, throughout my pregnancy, and I kind of isolated myself too. It was also lockdowns and just wanting to be by myself anyway, but I guess preparation was just really getting to know myself for the first time, really getting to know my intuition as well. I just spent a lot of time by myself, I guess, was my preparation. And I just trusting myself, trusting my baby. I just knew that everything would happen the way it was going to happen. I don't know. Beautiful. I just knew.
And there's that reason why, you know, our intuition is heightened during pregnancy, and it's and tapping into that and allowing that to happen is just magic.
It's the coolest, coolest thing ever. Being pregnant was so cool, like wild. get to grow like a person. What the hell? It was blowing my mind like every day.
Oh, how amazing. It is so, so special. It's like otherworldly. It really is.
Yeah, it's like being a part of like a big secret society as well. Walking around now, like if I see a pregnant mum at the supermarket or baby, like everyone's smiling at each other. Like we know what we're going through. It's so cool.
It's so true. That is so true. I like gravitate towards pregnant women and can't help but, you know, be like, hi, how are you?
Give me your number. let me give you food when your baby comes.
it is like a secret society, and it's a wide world community, really, that we're a part of. And I think it's incredible that you being the first to have a baby out of your friend group, how they have seen you move and navigate your way into motherhood and birthing in the way that you did, and taking, you know, the journey on in the way that you have. Because for so many, like their first birth is kind of, you know, it can be a really traumatic experience. And it's really nice to have women like really owning their first birth experience and knowing what they want and how they want to birth.
Yeah, totally. And I just can't wait for when it's my friend's time to have the same journey and for me to just be there for them for anything that they want, because I needed that person, and which is fine, but I can be that person now, which I'm so happy about.
Did you want to tell us about your partner? You mentioned your partner earlier. Was there anything that they needed to do?
I asked him this question last night. I was like, what was the preparation you did? He was like, I've never revised for a test in my life. But no, he didn't sound like that. He's got an English accent. Yeah, I was like, that's funny. And he didn't. No, not really. He just really trusted me, which was amazing. Because it was, everything was so new to him, obviously, as well. But so I was like, all right, I'm not having any more ultrasounds, which that was something he kind of, because they, it's hard for them. Oh, it's hard for them. But, you know, it's hard for them, their partner to, they're not experiencing it. It wasn't until Ziggy was born, really, that it really hit home for him. So an ultrasound was really his way to see the baby. But I just had to, he doesn't read books or anything, but I would just read out pages to him because I was like, this is what I want to do and I'll give you the reason and then you tell me what you think after and how could you not think what I think, kind of thing. So he was just, he listened and he was just so supportive of everything I did, but he didn't really have to do any preparation.
Beautiful. That's so great.
Sometimes just having that trust, you know, just letting the woman take the lead and just being there to support her and hold space and trust her is sometimes all we need.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all he can do, really. That's all they can do. And if they're not doing that, then they suck.
Yeah.
But that, like, what else can they do? They can't really do anything else. No. But, and that is massive. Yeah. That is a massive part of it, because if I didn't have his support, I mean, I couldn't do it. Or it would have been really hard and sad.
Did you want to jump in and talk to us about your birth story?
Yeah.
About the birth.
Yeah. So
tell us.
We just sit back. Yeah. Don't worry if it sounds like we haven't gone anywhere. This happens a lot. Yeah. People will be like, are you there? And we're just in another world. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll just start from like the start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So I guess in hindsight now, a couple of days leading up to, so it's the 13th that he was born. So a couple of days leading up to then, I was probably in early labor because I started to lose, I was just waiting for this like mucus plug to come, this I was expecting, I don't know what I was expecting, but I was just oozing for a couple of days, I guess. And then I had some tightening the night before. So in hindsight, I'm thinking that's early labor, but anyway. So on the morning of the 13th, I set my alarm for 5:30 a.m. for a 6 a.m. meditation, which is just ridiculous because now that I really wish I could sleep in now, and I was setting alarms when I was pregnant. What the hell? But so I had, oh my God. So I, woke up at 5:30 a.m., went downstairs to do a 62-minute meditation. And it was like a Kundalini meditation. So I was chanting. I was sitting cross-legged on the ground with my hands open in front of my heart as if I was receiving something. And that was what the meditation was about. It was to manifest miracles, manifest anything you could possibly imagine. And for the 62 minutes, have your hands out as if you were receiving that miracle. So I was just envisioning my baby being born. It was, he was coming out of me. For some reason, I was leading up to it as well, I was a bit obsessed with wanting the baby to be in the anterior position. So I was just imagining his head was down, it was tucked, and he was coming out, and then I was, he was received into my hands. And then obviously my mind would wander in meditation, but I would just bring myself back to that and my baby in my hands, my baby, bring him up to my chest. So then when it finished, my teacher said to us, you're in a very like potent manifestation portal right now and today, and to be very careful of what you wish for, kind of thing. Be very careful what you're thinking of and what you're doing today. So I was like, okay. So then I opened my journal and I'd written months prior, my, like, I called it my baby's birthday, how I wanted, how I envisioned and manifested his birthday to be. So I just read that after she'd said that, and I've got it here, but I won't read it because it's pretty much exactly what his day is. And then so I shut it, and then I went upstairs, and it was, I think, 7:30 after that, and then I got into back into bed, and I had a contraction literally as soon as I got into the bed. And but yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know. It kind of just felt like similar to like a, I needed to go for a poo. So I was like, oh, I don't know. But I knew that I was just doubting myself. And I went to the toilet and then lay back down, and I downloaded, I don't even know where this had come from. It must have been in someone's birth story that I read it, but I downloaded a contraction timing app, and then I was like timing the contractions, and they were full on from the start, like really, really strong. And the app was telling me, you need to pack your bag, your hospital bag now. And then like 5 minutes later, it was like, you need to go to hospital. And I was like, okay, we can stop this app now. But so they were like, that made me think, oh my God, this is imminent. Like the app is telling me I need to go to hospital. So the baby must be coming soon. So yeah, I told Reese, my partner, I was like, I think it's happening. I kept saying, I think it's happening. My mind was just going nuts. I was like, is this actually happening? Like I just manifested this. Like, is this true? Is this happening? And then I was really close with my mum throughout my pregnancy. Now she's my best friend. It's so cool. Mm. So I text her, and she probably just called me straight away. And I couldn't speak while I was having the contraction. Like, I had to stop. So they were really, yeah, they were really full on. I don't know what I thought, but I thought early on I would have time to, I don't know, do stuff between them, but I really couldn't. They were quite strong. So then my mum knew, and then I texted my doula, and I told her, I think I'm in labor. And then so she called me as well. And then I told her not to come. She lived an hour and a half away. So I told her not to come, because I was just thinking, oh, I don't want her to come and then everyone be bored. Like, this was always in my mind all day, was everyone's gonna be bored, which is stupid. Yeah, and then Reese actually texted her. She texted Reese and was like, do you think I should come? And then he said to me, Lauren, I think she should come. I was like, yeah, okay. Because they were hectic. It did feel really imminent, like this could just happen. So I think, and then she texted, my doula texted my photographer, which was also not really planned for me to have a photographer there. It just happened this way. So, which was, ended up being amazing. Olivia has had two home births, or a home birth and a free birth herself. So having her presence there was really nice. And she had her, so she was the first to arrive. Yeah, she was the first to arrive. And she had her 7-month-old baby with her the whole day too, which was awesome. Yeah, so she just kind of snuck in and started taking photos with Stevie on her chest. And Reese made me some food and I couldn't eat it. So he made me a smoothie and I was just sipping it. I was just, when a contraction would come, I'd just like lay down or put my knees on the couch. Like they were really strong. So then that was like, I know everything pretty much for the times because I've got photos and I've written it. So that was like 11. And then I think Felicity came about 11:30, my doula, and then my mum came at 12. So everyone was there by 12 o'clock, which was amazing, surrounded by these beautiful women and my partner. So I just kind of labored upstairs for a while, and I started to feel really sick, and I was throwing up, but that felt amazing. And then don't want to be skipping anything. But I think, yeah, I think Felicity told Reese to go and fill up the pool downstairs, which made me think, oh my God, so this is happening. So that was probably like 1 o'clock. And then we went downstairs. Yeah, once I went downstairs, I never came back upstairs. So we waited for the pool to fill up. I think I'm going to tell this really quickly. And then I got in the pool and then I just labored in the pool for hours and hours and hours, which was the best pain relief. Like nature's epidural water is just so incredible. Once I was in there, I never wanted to get out. But
relief when you were in, got into the water.
It was also kind of like a barrier as well. Everyone was it was my space, and no one, and which it's I didn't feel like I needed to escape anyone, but it was nice. So it was
just your safe space.
Totally safe space, and it was super dim. We just had like salt lamps and candles on, and my birth altar, which I looked at all of that too once I was down there. It was just, I was so inward. Like, I feel when I think back, I just feel like I had my eyes closed all day. That's what it feels like. I was just completely inside of myself, and it was really painful. Like, it was so painful, and I was pretty pissed off at how much it hurt.
So glad that you said that.
I was so not happy. Like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, people obviously, like, I knew, but like, I thought, not me, like, I would it would be okay or something, but it's, oh my God, it's fucked. Like, but I mean, you do it, but oh, I was just pissed off. I was really pissed off. Like, why does it have to hurt so much? And why do we have to do this? Like, oh my God. Like,
were you verbalizing that? Do you know?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I would just look up and be like, I can't do it. And then I was so just in my head. I was just so inward. I didn't feel like I couldn't verbalize it. It was just like I was just battling it, because I would go, oh God, I can't do this. And then I would go, surrender. I need to, like, I have to do this. So it was, that was just going on in my head. I don't think I verbalized it. I know I said, I can't do this. And everyone would go, yes, you can. Which, no, I can't. But I didn't want to get out of the pool, but I did, like, everything that my doula suggested, like lightly suggested, or Olivia did, I did it. I didn't want to do it, but I did it, and everything helped. So it was like, why don't you go to the toilet, or do you want to try the shower, or do you want to try the couch? And I did, and they all sucked so bad, like, awful. Every time I got out of that pool, I would be like cold, and then try and labor on the ground was just, I hated it.
Oh, the cold feeling is the worst when you get out of the pool.
Just like complete shivers, and then every blanket was thrown on top of me, and then I'd get really hot again. But it was all, getting out of the pool was awful, but it helped. Everything helped, because it got me along. And I was constantly getting fed the whole time as well. I was requesting like fruit. My mum was feeding me mango and banana, and I was drinking juice. So, because in my head I was aware of how I hadn't really eaten all day, and I really didn't want to get to the end and birth my baby and then feel faint or need to get transferred because I was really weak or anything. That was just always in my head. So I was like, feed me, but also be throwing up at the same time. So I was also aware of that I was not keeping much down. So I was just looking after myself. Like, I'm so proud of myself. I was really, really looking out for myself, my future self. Yeah. Absolutely. So that was that. I was doing that the whole time.
Such a marathon.
Yeah. So I'll just give the time frame. I had my first contraction at 8 a.m. and he was born at 6 p.m. So this is happening during that time. So it was just happening like that. I was in the pool most of the time. And then it's like I would come up for air almost. That's how it felt, but I was head down, focused, doing what I needed to do. And then towards the end, what really got things going was sitting on the toilet. And there was a point where I was sitting on the toilet and I was like, my baby's going to be born here on the toilet, which was fine. I was just like, it's happening. And I'll go back a little bit. I stuck my finger in my vagina and felt his head was about finger, like a pointed whole finger away. And then I started pushing, which I believe is way too early. Because then I was pushing for probably like 3 hours, which was exhausting, and I used a lot of energy doing that. And then once I had started pushing, I couldn't stop, even though I knew it was too early, but it's kind of like it gave me something to do. But yeah, that was a bit too early and it was a lot. So, but I did keep feeling, and I could feel that he was descending. So whatever I was doing, it was working. The pushing was working, but it was using a lot
of energy. Were you in the pool? Were you in the pool when you were pushing, or this is when you were on the toilet?
This was in the pool. This was back in the pool. When I first felt, it was in the pool, and then I was pushing out of the pool on the toilet in the shower, and when each time I would feel, he'd be a bit lower. So then when I was on the toilet, his head was there. It was like it was in my vagina. I could like cup it, kind of thing. Oh God, thinking about the pain. And I was like, he's coming. He's going to come on this toilet. And Reese, my partner, was like, okay, get back in the pool. He didn't want him to be born on the toilet, I think, which is I'm so grateful for, because it was so much better in the pool. Yeah. So I can't remember that part. I must have waddled, like I got back in the pool somehow with his head right there. And then this part, the crowning and him coming out, was the best. Like it was so much more painful than the contractions, but I was like, oh my God, I can do this. Like, this is happening. My baby's coming out. The whole time and the whole day, I just knew he was fine. Like, he was moving. And yeah, there was not one time, not literally not one second of fear. Nothing ever came up. It was, now that I'm thinking back to it, it was just happening all day. He was just coming all day. Beautiful. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, I'm doing this. And I kind of held his head back a bit, because I was like, my one fear, I guess, was that of tearing, which is really ridiculous, really, because like if we're going to tear, that's what our bodies are made to do, and it'll heal itself. But that was one of my fears. So I was just like, oh no, oh no. And I just held his head there for a few contractions, and I didn't push. And then when his head did come out, it was out. And then everyone, like the sound was just excitement in the room. My mum was like frantic. She was like, oh my God, Reese, because Reese was around the front with me. She was like, Reese, come around here. Come catch your baby. And I was like, all right, I was fine. I was like, oh God, thank fuck that's over. Like that, his head's out, like it's done, like it's all fine. And they now tell me, like, I probably should have prepped Reese for that, because he didn't know, and my mum didn't know, that the head could be bought. Like, they thought the head comes and the body comes. Mm-hmm. So he was like, what the hell, like, Lauren, what are you doing? And yeah, I just waited for the next contraction, which I think was like, oh, it feels like a couple minutes. And then he just slithered out and was then put on my chest, and it was over.
It was amazing. Slithered out.
And then I didn't tear, and he was 9 pounds 4, and he was amazing and beautiful. And I was just like, Reese was bawling, everyone was crying, and I was just like, oh, that's over. Like, it was just so simple. When it was all over, I like said to my doula, I was like, I was expecting big euphoric spiritual experience, and it was kind of just like, not like, I don't know, you know, it was just, I just was having my baby, I was just birthing my baby at home. It was a bit boring and painful, and I felt like everyone was just bored the whole day, and I felt sorry for everyone. Which is ridiculous. Like, that's something that, yeah, when the whole day I was in the pool, I was like, oh, like, maybe Reese could go and like play with his like computer and make some music, and should I tell them they can go home for a bit? Like, I was just like, oh, this must be so boring for them. That was
meanwhile, just, yeah. Everyone's in total awe of you.
Yeah, they were having the best day ever.
Completely.
But I was like, completely. Oh, God.
Being invited into a space to witness birth is not boring.
It's absolutely like, not.
So amazing and like such an honor and incredible to witness.
So yeah, and then so he came out and I sucked at his nose a little bit. I licked him, I kissed him, I smelt him all over, just to like let my body know that he's here, everything's okay. And yeah, for a little while we didn't know if he was a boy or a girl, and my mum was like, what is it Lauren, what is it, why aren't you showing us? Like, she thought I was keeping it a secret, but I knew when he was in my arms, I was looking at him, I was like, shut up, it's a boy, like what do you mean. I just knew. So, and it was, and his umbilical cord was like really short, like I would say like a forearm length, so he was quite very close when I was holding him. And do you want me to go into after the birth?
Yes.
Is that, yeah?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So when he came out and was passed under my leg onto my chest, because I was kind of on all fours when he was born in the pool. So it was kind of like this maneuver over under my leg and onto my chest, but the cord was super short. So I think I stayed in the pool for about an hour, just staring at him, holding him, and then yeah, getting out of the pool was a little bit tricky because of the cord. But we just got out and we sat on the couch, and I was like, there was a lot, it was a good amount of blood, but I was just constantly checking in with myself, and if I stood up, I mean, I felt faint, but I had just had the biggest day ever. Mm-hmm. And I was just getting fed watermelon Sour Patch Kids lollies, and then a cheese board was made and fruit, so I had like 8 pieces of honey on toast. So I then sat on the couch for probably another hour, and in that time I was having contractions still, after which I had no idea about, like, what the hell, it's not over. They hurt so much as well, like, what? Like, so painful, and holding my baby and still being attached to the placenta inside and having these contractions, it was awful. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna try with one of these contractions to stand over a bowl. And I did that once and it didn't come out, my placenta, but it did the second time I did that, and Reese caught the placenta in a bowl, and which was awesome. He received his baby and he received his placenta, which was sick. And then yeah, it was really short, that's when we realized it was really short. And so we had a cord burning box, and my mum and Reese was burning the cord, but it was so short that his feet were like, I had to guard his feet from the flames. So we probably burned it for about 10 minutes and then just cut the rest of it, because it was quite hard to maneuver like that with the flame so close to us. So yeah,
I just wanted to ask about, you mentioned that you noticed that you were bleeding quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take anything or do anything specific for that? Did you feel any anxiousness in the room from anyone else?
No, I didn't. Okay, cool. I didn't feel any of that. I was requesting the lollies, and I think I had my doula made me a no bleed tea. There could have been. I think Reese said after he was a bit concerned about the color of the water and how much blood was like on the towel where I was sitting, and the clots, there was like clots coming out too. But no, I felt like electric. Like, I felt
so great.
Yeah. When I, like, there was a point up later, a bit later, where I tried to walk over to go to the toilet and I felt faint then, but I just sat back down and just waited a little bit longer. But it just all felt very normal. Like, I think throughout the day, my mum had it, like, it took the whole 9 months of me being pregnant for my mum to come to terms with me having him at home, let alone me having him with no medical person present. So, and she was aware that I needed her to, like, keep her shit together. I didn't want her any projecting any fear, and she was amazing. If she got a bit frantic throughout the day, she would just take herself outside and start sweeping. Oh, so crazy. I was not aware of it going on. I was told that after. Mm-hmm. But I was so just happy and excited for everyone there. Like, I remember early on in my pregnancy, I had a birth keeper say to me, like, why do you want your mum there? Like, and I said, oh, I think it would be an amazing transformative experience for her. And they questioned me, like, why do you want to transform your mum? Like, why? And like, it's not about your mum, it's for you. And yeah, I know that, but I still wanted that experience for my mum. Like, it was it was amazing. It was, and now she is, like, the biggest home birth, water birth advocate. She tells everyone it's the only way. She had four babies in the hospital, so it was massive. It was massive for everyone.
And how old is Ziggy now, Lauren?
So he is 12 weeks. He will be 13 weeks on Monday.
Beautiful.
Yeah, which is this crazy. Like, it's just crazy.
I know. I've got
this. And I think Bali is 9 days older than Ziggy.
Yeah, they're really close in age, and I can so relate to the, like, wow, this is crazy, because even though this is my second baby, it just goes really, really quickly.
Yeah, everybody says it goes so quick, and I'm so conscious of that.
The first 12 weeks are, like, it's such a portal, the first, 3 months post-birth, and I still feel like I'm deep in it, so I can imagine you do too.
I found it really hard, or just confronting, and I really lost myself, still have, but the first 6 weeks, first 3 weeks, first week was mental. Like, it's just kind of like, who said this is okay? Like, I've just been left with this baby, this tiny, tiny human, and then everyone leaves, and me's like, what the hell? Like, who said this is okay? You've just been dumped with the baby, and fend for yourself now. Like, and everyone's like, oh, it doesn't come with an instruction manual. I'm like, yeah, but like, it could be a little bit more. I think just, it's a community thing.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. Did you want to speak to us about your postpartum? Like, you've touched on that first week and then the first 3 weeks.
My mum was amazing and still comes, like, weekly and helps because Reese had to, he owns a barbershop, and it was really hard to, like, obviously we don't know when the baby's coming. So he had 3 weeks off, but he came in the second week, so he went back to work week two of Ziggy being here, which was really hard, really sad for him to go back to work. And it really felt really daunting, like, it was all Ziggy's all my responsibility kind of thing. And going from not having anything like that to, it's just crazy. I found it really challenging. Like, obviously the love is there, it's incredible, amazing, but it was just like, this is fucked. Like, I had no way of ever knowing what to expect, kind of thing.
You're learning a complete new skill really. You're learning to love yourself. Plus, look after another human. It's massive. It's such a big transition and shift. Especially not having a big friend group around you either, or you know, you said you were the first to have a baby, so it's I can so relate. I really, really can. Did you, you said you had a doula as well, did you have postpartum support from your doula, or was she more just a birth keeper?
She I did. She I think she came maybe four times after, and she set up a meal train for me too, so we had food maybe for 2 weeks. That I think something I would do next time is invest in like a separate postpartum doula just for postpartum. But I mean, my mum was that. My mum really was that. And that's something that she said as well after. She was like, okay, next baby, you don't need a doula, I'll do it. She was like, you don't need to hire anyone for the birth. It's fine. I know what to do now. She's like, we just need some towels. And she's like, I've got this, which is so cool.
So cool.
Yeah. But yeah, my mum was kind of my postpartum doula. And yeah, so I think like even with all of the support, it's still really, for me, it still was really isolating, because I just felt like no one, the people I wanted around me was Reese, my mum, Felicity, my doula, and Olivia. The people that were there, it was like no one else understands kind of thing. So I know there was people that were wanting to come and help, and I didn't want it, because I kind of wanted to be alone. Now it's a bit different. I'm happy to get out and see people. But yeah, it was just, and like, I mean, my whole body hurt, like was still very uncomfortable. I mean, I think I had a pretty good postpartum, but it just in myself, I was just rattled. Like it was just, I was, shocked kind of thing.
How was the transition for your partner?
He loves it. He just thinks it's the coolest thing ever. But yeah, it was seeing me like so tired, so exhausted, in pain, is really hard for him, and he doesn't know really how to help with that. I think that's a struggle, but I mean, it's been he's just stoked. He thinks it's the coolest thing ever.
So great.
Which is, it's awesome for him to, working in the barbershop surrounded by other men, he's constantly telling his birth experience with Ziggy, and so cool that he can share that with other men. And it's just so I'm really trying to, and he's gonna, I think he should share his birth story experience on his Instagram, and he's starting like a little men's or father's group thing at the barbershop, a monthly thing. So cool. Like I'm so, it's just, I think it's gonna
good on him,
be massive for the men in our community.
Definitely. That's so needed, and
it is,
to openly talk about things and birth.
I mean, that's what they do, they talk about everything when you're in the barber chair. And and I've got this amazing online community of mums, and it's, I reckon it'd be massive for, like, men need it too.
Definitely.
Fathers.
For sure.
So is there anything that you would like to say to anyone who's listening, that's, you know, about to follow this path or perhaps thinking about it?
Just trust yourself, just listen to yourself, and what feels right is right, and what feels wrong is wrong, and trust yourself, trust your baby, really. That's all I could do, was listen to myself, and don't get into a conversation with people about what you plan to do if you don't want to hear what they have to say, really. I didn't really put myself in that position, because I did a couple times of telling what my birth plans were and all my pregnancy plans were, and just was shit, you know. Because I mean, if you're gonna go down a similar kind of route, there's a lot of people that have a lot of fear around it, so they will, it won't want to be a nice conversation. Just trust yourself.
Yeah, and so important to protect our own personal space in such an open, open time?
I've probably missed. There's probably so many things I could tell you.
Oh, it's great. We've loved having you on. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story and telling us about your postpartum and your journey so far with Ziggy.
It was fun. It was fun. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lauren.
Thanks, guys.